There's a plan from consumer regulators to break debilitating cycles of debt. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Government regulators are lowering the boom on payday lending. There are new rules on the way from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to put the onus on the lenders to ensure that borrowers can pay back these short-term higher-interest loans. Providers of these last-resort-style loans say they provide a crucial service. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Those who use payday loans tend to be low income, and they often struggle to pay them back. Mersa Baradaran wrote how the other half banks about limited access to financing for the poor.
And I think that the CFPB's rules go a long way in trying to eliminate some of the most egregious sort of abuses in that market.
The proposal will address fees, repayment terms, and how many loans a borrower can take out at a time. Thea Brooke Knight is with the Libertarian Cato Institute.
I think that you're going to see the industry scrambling to try to figure out whether it's worth remaining open.
She says people who have no other options for smaller and short-term loans will be out of luck under the new rules. Dan Gwaltney is with California Financial Service Providers, which represents payday lenders.
Unfortunately, some small lenders may not be able to continue to do business, and we're nervous about where their customers are going to go.
CFPB will be taking comments on the new rules until mid-September. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
We're also getting word now that the oil producers' cartel, OPEC, did not reach an agreement to limit oil production, so prices could trend lower. In New York, a barrel is down about 1.3% to $48.38. A report today finds planned layoffs are down to a five-month low in the U.S., and the ADP company added up all the payrolls it processes and found more hiring in May. Tomorrow, the government releases its count of people with jobs and its survey on unemployment, also for May. But there is an anomaly to watch for, and we should call on Diane Swonk, the CEO of DS Economics in Chicago, to explain. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So tell me about the asterisk that we need once the data comes in.
Well, the key issue is that in the month of May, Verizon workers, some 36,000 of them, were actually on strike. Now, Verizon did hire thousands of workers to replace them, but that doesn't offset all of the workers that were gone. So that will shave right off the top more than 30,000 on the payroll data because they weren't being paid actually in the week that the survey was taken. That strike has since been settled. That's the good news, and they're back at work. But it means that the overall number is going to look a lot weaker than the underlying report suggests.
All right, so when the number comes in, remember the Verizon strike. But the Fed, the Federal Reserve, the guardians of interest rates, will also be looking at this with great interest.
Yes, this will be the yay or nay on whether they move in June. I think it's going to be a yay that they do move to lift rates in June, although it's a close call. The key issue for the Fed will be wages. Are wages continuing to accelerate? We already got the Beige Book out this week that confirmed that wages, in fact, are accelerating across the country, at least according to all the different district reports by the Federal Reserve. And I think we're going to see a little pickup in wages, at least hold holding at the 2.5% pace. It's above what we'd seen, that 2% we were stuck at for years. And we might even see it slip a little above that in this month's report. That would be welcoming news for the Federal Reserve and sort of that affirmation that they can water down the punch a little bit. They're not going to stop the party, but just put a little water in the alcohol.
All right. Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
An irritating feature of the tech boom has been people who build nice enough apps that do cute little things, yet the developers go around saying their work has changed the world. But some apps do have that capacity. There's a United Nations meeting this month on people with disabilities, an estimated 15% of the world's population. And among the topics, apps, handy software, programs, right, that can draw on the wisdom of crowds to pull together information on what structures are accessible to disabled people. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reports.
Hey, George.
That's Jason Da Silva getting his personal assistant, George, to silence his phone for him. We're in his apartment in Queens. He says after he developed multiple sclerosis about 10 years ago, getting out got more complicated.
There's times that I was finding it impossible just to go out and meet a friend at a bar or have a date.
Because it was hard to figure out where his wheelchair would fit, how many stairs there were, whether there was a bathroom he could use. So he made an app.
The app is called Access Map.
AXS Map. De Silva makes it available for free, but he also has a related startup that's looking for investors. AXS uses Google Places to let people around the world post detailed reviews about accessibility, like Yelp, but for people with various types of physical disabilities.
We have over 100,000 reviews around the world.
And other people have made apps in German and Japanese. Professor Derek Cogburn from American University thinks big data and crowdsourcing are the future of accessibility.
The disability community can really sort of vote with their pocketbook, so to speak.
And he'll be at the UN in a couple weeks talking about it. But I wanted to see the app in action. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm going to open up the app, searching for restaurants near me. A little bit of scrolling through, and I find a restaurant called Yayo's just down the block. And I'm walking up a ramp into Yayo's. It's a big open space where I meet manager Geronimo Diaz.
We try to accommodate every wheelchair that comes here, no matter how busy we are.
In theory, every place is supposed to be accessible, but older businesses often haven't made those updates. Diaz says Yayo's first became accessible when it was renovated. Now, people in wheelchairs are some of the restaurant's most loyal customers.
They keep on coming back.
But a lot of businesses aren't thinking about disabled customers. Crowdsourcing just might be a way to pressure them to change. In New York, I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And in Egypt, they tested a dagger found in King Tut's tomb. Turns out the metal is from another world. It was iron from a meteorite, scientists say. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.